ready to party. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Welcome, friends.
It's us, we're here. He won't let us talk.
Sorry, what?
You said you wanted these podcasts to be really quick, and I feel like you're chastising us for talking too much.
Here's the show.
I can see you floopy.
Those Two Girls.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the show. It's Liz and Sarah with you on this morning.
Good one.
Wow. I just wanted to see what I'd sounded like if I was serious, a serious broadcaster.
And
I
how
didn't
did
like
it. Sound?
I didn't like it personally.
All right, back to the usual program, please. Do you feel like you'd like a little bit of life advice from a very old person? No, because you're older than me. Are you done yet?
Okay, go. Okay. What's your advice?
Well, here's the thing. Every so often, someone at a ripe old age will spout off the reason they think they're still walking this earth.
Yes.
And often it's like, oh, I have a cup of chamomile tea before bed, or I just love hugs from my grandchildren, or something that's a bit naff. Well, here's a little tidbit of advice from a 97-year-old Belgian lady whose name is Robertine. Now, she says the reason she is so healthy in her advanced age is because she has between 12 and 20 beers a day. And that's the reason why she's not on any medication and has only been sick twice.
I would venture that that's alcoholism.
That's what I would think. I would think that Robertine hasn't been sick because she has effectively pickled her guts.
She's been drunk for 90 years.
She is walking sauerkraut, that lady.
Hold on. Does it actually say she has 12 beers?
12 to 20 beers a day.
Glasses of beer?
I'm assuming
so. Well, I don't know. How big's her glass? Maybe she's drinking a thimble of beer.
No, this lady has a local pub and she heads there every day except Wednesdays, because that's the day the pub is closed, drinks between 12 and 20 glasses, and once she even had 22 glasses of beer. All the locals say she can handle it perfectly fine. That's because Robertine's a high-functioning alcoholic. At 97.
You know something that the Belgians do very, very well?
Alcohol?
Aside from pickling their guts. When I went to Belgium.
Oh, did you go to Belgium?
Yes, I did.
Belgium?
Right next to France, isn't it?
It's on the border. My father grew up right on the border of France and Belgium. Now, the Belgians do hot chips and mayonnaise.
What?
Okay, they don't do tomato sauce, and their mayonnaise is delightful, and you'll never taste anything better.
Is it called aioli? Because we all
Sarah,
do that, Liz.
That's chips.
That's not a Belgian thing.
Look it up. Look it up. It is known to be a Belgian delicacy.
I don't care that much.
It's so good, guys. Anyway, bottoms up.
Those Two Girls.
Hey, guys, you know how I've been dabbling in the FODMAP diet for my poor little guts, where I've had to make some dietary changes and try a few different types of bread, seeing wheat doesn't seem to
agree with me. I mean, do we know about it?
Me.
You're telling us every day for the past 3 weeks, I think. It follows on
your
colonoscopy.
I have an update.
I can't wait.
The other day in the back of the freezer, I found the remnants of a gluten-free bread. A loaf of gluten-free bread that I pre-sliced because it's essentially a brick, right? When you buy gluten-free bread, it is a brick. So I had pre-sliced it.
I've never tried it because
I've got
taste buds.
Because I'm going to tell you a story that's going to reiterate the fact. Well, I have taste buds too, Sarah, but I don't have a choice. Anyway, I'd bought this gluten-free loaf. I'd pre-sliced it, wrapped it in a tea towel, chucked it in the freezer. Now, there's one thing that people who must eat gluten-free bread will know is that you cannot toast the darned thing. I put gluten-free bread in the toaster. I crank it up to level 7. Okay? It comes out.
That means 7 minutes. That's what the dial on a toaster
Whatever your
means.
Highest dial is, that's what I put it in there. It's a white loaf of gluten-free bread. It comes out white. Still not a char on it. It begs belief. It
normal
is a
bread would just
feat.
Be ash that crumbles in your hands.
Not this gluten-free loaf. So anyway, it was there in the freezer. I thought, oh God, I am hungry. So I threw it in the toaster, dialed it up, out it came, white and pale. I slathered on some butter and some golden syrup. Okay, I'm salivating just thinking about the golden syrup. Anyway, I bit into it.
Well, she spat on her paper, so that's how she covered it.
Anyway,
I bit into it. And you never actually should bring up when someone, when a bit of spit just launches from someone's gob somewhere, but that's exactly what happened to Lisa.
Anyway,
I nearly landed on my knee into
the non-toasted gluten-free bread, Sarah, and I basically just licked off the topping because the bread is revolting. And I thought, there was Minnie, my Great Dane, sitting beside me, and I thought, she loves a carb. Mm. I'm going to give her what I haven't eaten, mm-hmm. okay? So I gave it to her. She snatched it ever so delicately out of my hands, just with her little lips, held it in her mouth, looked at me, gave me a death stare, and then dropped it. Dropped it clean on the floor. Even Minnie will not have a bar of the gluten-free bread, even though it had lashings of butter and golden syrup. She doesn't even want to eat it.
It's got standards.
Well, I know, as do I, but what are we to do?
Also, can I just backtrack? Because I sort of got stuck on a part of your story where you said you wrapped bread in a tea towel and put it in the freezer.
100%. Have you never tried that trick?
No.
It's phenomenal.
Don't you just keep it in the loaf bag that it comes in?
No, because gluten-free loaf bags are shithouse too.
I had a burger the other night. I got the burger. And it looked nothing like the picture on the menu. Absolutely nothing. In fact, my burger looked like it had been thrown against a wall and then put on my plate.
Standard burger just, appearance.
Yeah. Mm. And it just got me thinking about when you see burgers or any food for that matter in a television commercial.
Oh, it looks the best.
Oh, God, your mouth just starts salivating at the mere thought. It looks scrumptious.
Yes.
So I thought, are there tricks that are used in food television commercials?
Well, Sarah, there's so many tricks in commercials. I told you that tale. This is aside from food, but in male underwear campaigns. Remember,
right.
They put the soggy bread down their undies to pad out that area.
Make it look like they've got a bigger pain.
Well,
oh.
She's getting crass in her old age,
really
isn't she?
Really is. She's turning.
No, she's turning on us. It must be the drop of estrogen. Anyway, yes, so these things happen. So, yes, so have you done some deep diving?
Yeah, well, I'll just match yours with a story that I've got. Years ago, I did a cleaning product ad.
Yeah.
And when they were setting the scene up, they made toilet scum look like it was Vegemite mixed with toothpaste.
Oh, and then they're applying
With their clean, you know, when they clean over the toilet, that's
so
Vegemite and toothpaste. That's right. So here's what I found.
So what came out
here's
of your
something
studies.
I found. Let's think cereal, okay? Think cereal sitting in a beautiful bowl of white milk. It's not milk.
What is it?
It's glue. It is white PVC glue.
I love this.
That makes perfect sense. You know why it makes sense? When you pour yourself a bowl of cereal as a layperson, the cereal sinks to the bottom and goes soggy. It does not float to the top like beautiful little puffy parcels.
Yeah.
So they're lying to us. It's glue.
It's glue.
And the cereal sits atop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, amazing. What else have you got?
What about fizzy drinks that are supposed to have lots of foam on the top of them?
Yes.
Like a soft drink
or
what have you. They are dishwashing liquid.
Oh. Okay, so they put that at the bottom of the glass, add the Coca-Cola or whatever, soft drink, and then it fizzes more than it really does.
Yep, absolutely. What about when they slice into cake?
Yeah.
And you see a beautiful piece presented on a plate. That's actually held together. There's cardboard between the slices, and then they paint over it.
You know when you were talking about your burger thrown up against a wall, or at least looking that way, I heard somewhere that they use those little makeup wedge sponges. They put that in the burger so that the burger has height.
So you can see the
layers.
And
each ingredient is layered.
Wow. Yes.
And the bun sits perfectly flat on the top. Makeup sponges.
Here's another one. If you see maple syrup being poured all over pancakes.
That is my undoing.
That's motor oil.
Oh!
Okay? This is...
this is fascinating.
Witchcraft.
Absolutely
witchcraft.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Well, 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 mm-hmm. we are debunking all the great myths.
We sure are. Hang on, I'm just looking at this one. Let me see.
Oh, one more.
One more, Sarah. One more.
Okay. What about when you see a chicken? When you see the body of a chicken before it gets roasted.
Okay, like a raw chook is what you're talking about on a platter.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. They glue it. They glue the chicken to fix any tears in its skin. So it looks like a perfect beast of a bird. All right?
That's a bad one to end on.
Yeah, it's not the best, is it? No, now I'm just, carry among yourself. I'm on a Reddit thread. I'm distracted.
Don't. Go to some form of ad.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, I have a great feel-good story out of Pennsylvania in the US. An ex-Marine by the name of Joie Henney, or maybe it's Joy Henney.
That's a very big difference. Well, is it Joie or is it Joy?
Well, Sarah.
Anyone listening out there whose name is Joy, today is your day. Because henceforth, Joie. You are Joie.
Is that French, is it?
Well, it is, you smart Alec.
And yet talking about a Pennsylvanian person.
Well, I'm confused. His name is spelled J-O-I-E. That is actually the French word for joy. Is it pronounced Joie or Joy? I don't know.
That's Joe with a silent I.
Is it? Okay, we'll call him Joe. I like it. So ex-Marine Joe Henney, 65 years old, Sarah.
Is it Henney or is it on there?
Can you stop it and let me get through a bloody story? Now, poor old Joe was not in a good way. Three of his mates had recently passed away. He was really staring down the barrel at a deep depression. And his doctor had said to him, we can medicate you.
Really,
we can medicate you.
Turn.
But Joe said, my name is Joie, and that's French for joy, so I will not be medicated. Instead, I would like you to certify my alligator named Wally as an approved emotional support animal. Okay? So
Joe did need to be medicated if he's asking that question.
Sarah, ESAs or emotional support animals are a real thing.
They're often like at a stretch.
Okay.
A buddy possum or a cat or a squirrel or something.
Well, they're usually
soft and
dogs.
Fluffy.
They're usually not neither squirrels nor whatever beavers
you've
said.
I'm talking about the stretch goals for emotional support. But an alligator.
But it's whatever animal brings you relief and comfort. And Joe realised that whenever he'd return home and see Wally, he would feel okay and he would feel comfort. So Wally the alligator, 35 kilograms, 5 foot long, he's 4 years old. Joe came across him when one of his mates in the bayou, that's like the swamps.
We know.
All right.
We know.
Said, do you want a gator?
Or he said, like, you want a gator?
Yeah, he said, you want a gator?
Yeah.
And
they're from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there was a bayou in Anyway, just go with it, right? So his mate said, here's a gator. He named him Wally. Now, listen to this. Wally.
I wonder if his mate actually said, do you want a Gatorade?
No! Wally, said, the ESA, emotional support animal, alligator, enjoys sleeping in a kitchen cabinet that Joe has cleared out for him, or he likes lazing around on the couch or bed. When he's not doing that, he's likely watching telly or swimming around in his 300-gallon plastic pond. He gets walked on a leash like a dog. If you're wondering at this point, why has he chosen an apex predator as an ESA?
I mean, to me, that sounds exactly the way an alligator likes to live.
Joe has said he's a big teddy bear and he likes to cuddle, not snap.
No, see, here's the thing. Wally's just waiting for Joe to keep feeding him big enough to eat him.
He's not, guys.
Joe is a fool.
No, listen, it even says that Wally visits senior centres. He likes it. Wait for it. Guess what else he likes to do?
Because they're old and slow and he can catch them.
Not only does he like the senior citizens, he likes to visit minor league baseball games. That's where children go.
The children. Yum, yum, yum.
Yep.
In Wally's tum-tum-tum.
This is a long game from Wally.
This, I mean, hats off to Wally. He is playing it smart.
He's guys, like, yeah, he's not that big. I'm going to put...
You keep me in the kitchen cabinet.
No.
Keep me next to you watching TV.
You know what
me
I'm
going to
do?
Leash.
You guys are cynics. I'm going to put the video of Joie, Joe Joy and Wally. I'm going to put it up on our Instagram, at Lise and Sarah, and you guys can decide for yourselves.
Aww.
Okay, it's a beautiful story.
Oh, that's it.
And maybe the video can tell us what his name is, how it's pronounced, because I haven't watched it yet, truth be told.
If you have chosen an apex predator as your emotional support animal, please let us know at Lise and Sarah on Instagram. Lise, something incredibly awkward happened between us the other evening when we were alighting from the car to go into an event. Now, before we walked in, you decided that you needed to put bronzing oil on your body.
On my legs.
So you hoiked up your skirt.
Yes.
You ripped out the bronzing oil and you were slathering it on and in. Now, I didn't know what you were using. I was a bit worried it might change your colour dramatically.
No, it's just a glow.
Just
it
a
gives
glow.
Me, yeah.
So I said to you, oh, God, give me some of that if I know it won't change my alabaster skin to a shade of dirt. And I walked around to the driver's side of the car and I said, you, do it to me. Rub it on. So you put it in the palm of your hand and you started rubbing it.
I rubbed
on
it
my
on your
arms. On my arms, yep.
With gusto, with
so
force.
So much gusto. But then you got snagged. You got snagged and started pulling very deliberately at the skin of my elbow and you shook it up and down, waved it around and said, what the hell is this?
It's that floopy part of skin on one's elbow, okay?
Which and I never give a second thought to until you roughly grabbed it and said something about my age and what the hell was happening here.
Well, it's a, you know, some people find that little curtain there, floppy skin, quite, you know, it's soft and it's comforting, isn't it?
Well, yes. It's kind
and
of like
it needed
a,
some
like
bronzing
a lizard,
oil on
a lizard
it.
Neck or something because it's quite
what
dry.
Do you call it, though? I don't
well,
know
I
the
don't
term
know.
It's
for
got
that a, it's got a particular medical term. And apparently, if we didn't have that bit of skin, our arms would be like robots. Because
well, we wouldn't
it's
be
what
able
allows
to
our
articulate our limbs, would we?
That's right.
Okay, so what's it called? Did you look it up?
Well, I've looked it up.
Okay.
And
give me the medical term. What, do you have the scientific?
I don't have the medical term, but I can't pronounce it.
Okay, what do you have then?
Why does it matter then?
Well, I would just be interested.
Because the colloquial term for it.
Oh, God.
Is a weenus.
It is not a weenus.
A weenus.
That's the
someone,
floppy part of skin on your elbow.
Someone sent it to me because we put a video up on our Instagram at Lise and Sarah and someone sent a message saying my friend calls it a weenus.
And
I said, this is a joke, surely. But I've jumped online and that's what it is nicknamed.
A weenus.
And I much prefer floopy.
I prefer
which is
floopy.
What you said. What's the floopy bit of your skin? So I think we should start a new movement to call it your floopy.
Do you have a floopy, Aaron?
Show me your floopy.
I am highly uncomfortable.
Do I have a floopy?
Floop, floop-a-doop.
Oh my God,
You've
I have
got
a floopy.
Everyone has a floopy.
Oh my God.
Everybody.
Can everybody right now listening in your cars, just be safe, pull over, grab your floopy. Have a
just
feel.
Give it a little.
And you know what? If you want to photograph your floopy and drop us a line on Instagram at Lise and Sarah or on our Facebook.
Just your elbow skin. That's it.
When we say floopy, we mean floopy. Okay? Otherwise known as a weenus.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
That was the show.
I mean, floopy or weenus?
My vote is floopy.
After you said weenus, I remembered in high school, that was one of the classic like joke, like, I can see your weenus.
Yeah. And what did it refer to?
It was initially said in a television show or something of the 90s. Yeah, like a 90s thing, and that's where the term caught on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting to learn that you can't, if you didn't have it, you
sense,
can't.
Sarah.
You know what? I know it makes sense, but I'd never thought about my floopy in that way.
You need to consider your floopy more often.
I think we should floop off. Yeah, that's the show, guys.
Bye.
Tickety-boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls Catch-Up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.